The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Guy Shiraki, good morning. Do you think that Trump now being president allows Governor Shapiro to be his moderate self? Or do you think that, in fact, he became more progressive and now this is pulling him back to the middle?
Good morning, Dawn. Yeah, it's a great question. And I felt all along as we looked at the results from the last election, Governor Shapiro gets to tell us when he offers the budget next week, what lesson did he learn? Does he want to double down? Does he believe that progressive ideas are better and they just had a bad salesman in Kamala Harris? Or does he understand what now the majority of Americans and the majority of Pennsylvanians said, which is the Democratic Party pulled us too far left and ruined everything? And so what is the lesson? Look, you and I know candidate Shapiro said he would be a moderate. Mm-hmm. Candidate Shapiro said he didn't trust the Green New Deal. He wanted to use Pennsylvania natural gas. Candidate Shapiro said he wanted to help small businesses. And candidate Shapiro, and then Governor Shapiro said, every one of God's children deserves an opportunity to attend a school of their parents' choice. He hasn't done it yet. So we're going to learn next week which it is. I hope, putting politics and party aside, I hope as a Pennsylvanian that he learned the lesson that we do want him to get stuff done. And it is common sense, bipartisan stuff. School choice, helping small business, those are the main things. Those are things that we talk about at our kitchen table. I hope that's the lesson he learned.
And where do you think he goes with this as far as education and education funding? That's one you and I have spent a lot of time talking about this, school choice. But also there were headlines even about the college system, Penn State. Will they be, for example, will they be closing some of their campuses? That's what we're hearing, the rumblings about PSU and others. And so where do you think this is going?
Yeah, well, I hope he understands two realities. One is that there's a population shift and there are not the pool of potential college students nationally and in Pennsylvania, because sadly, we're a stagnant state with a falling population or a stagnant population at best. So I hope he understands there's a shrinking pool. And secondly, more and more students and more parents who are involved in helping their students pick a college want a college that's going to teach them skills for life and not send them to, pardon the phrase, but send them to 4 years of fantasy camp, to send them a 4 years of living in a bubble, 4 years of virtue signaling, 4 years of safe spaces, 4 years of taking classes on Taylor Swift's music. So I hope it, look, if Shapiro understands there's a tighter student market and that our schools in Pennsylvania that you and I help subsidize, the Penn States, the Millersville, the Westchesters, they need to offer classes that get people ready to enter the world with skills and jobs. Again, that's not a conservative idea. That's a common sense idea. And the answer is not more money. It's making sure that these schools are affordable, but offer classes in things that help prepare people for the world and help them problem solve and deal with confrontation and challenges in life. So again, we get to learn. He's talked a lot about education. In higher education, it's about preparing people to be self-sustaining and even flourish as the next Elon Musk may be coming from Downingtown. But when it comes to K-12, look, you and I've talked about it. The results are there. It's not Republican or Democrat. There are schools in the Delaware Valley that are abject failures academically. There are schools in the Delaware Valley that are unsafe, and some schools are both. Why are we trapping people there? It's not in your interest or mine. So these are moderate ideas. Let kids go to school that work, and let higher education be focused on preparing people for the real world. Those are two moderate ideas, which candidate Shapiro talks about. It's time for Governor Shapiro to do it.
You know, Guy Shiraki, as we continue the conversation, we had talked at the time about the escaped convicted killer Cavalcante when he was in Chester County, and it forced road closures, it forced business closures, it forced school closures, in fact, as well. And a lot of people in the suburbs did not realize that that prison over there, they thought it was like, you know, minimum or moderate kind of a security situation. And they were surprised with the news of this guy that he was being held there. And I know that the media did not necessarily focus as much on the fact that this guy was an illegal here in this country, wanted by his home country, so on and so forth. I had actually thought, stupidly, at the time, that maybe that would influence different future elections in Chester County, especially, where people would say, you know what, we don't like this sanctuary situation. But Chester County has gone to the Democrats. And so how do you think now this switch that we've seen with, you know, the crackdown, Tom Homan, with ICE crackdowns, with the word that these illegal convicted criminals oftentimes let free from their prisons and whatever their home country is, and they're all here. Do you think that this issue moving forward makes a difference in suburbs like Chesco?
Oh, I absolutely do, because, you know, as you rightly point out, a lot of what you talk about, when you move away from party or you move away from theories and you talked about practical, we're now in the practical. This is no longer should we have an open border or allow in refugees. It's no longer about America first or compassion. This is now practical. When you have little to no vetting at the border, criminals, murders, drug gang leaders, people who come here to commit crimes and when you treat the criminal justice system as some sort of social experiment that coddles criminals and worries more about violent criminals' rights than innocent people, bad things happen and deadly things happen. So I think you'll begin to see the shift. The important thing is that Republicans, and frankly, people who don't consider themselves Republicans that just want to have common sense, that we now understand that bad policies have horrible results. And I think even in the suburbs, we can now say cause and effect. This is what happens when you do these things. When you have open borders, Lake and Riley dies. When you have lax security that focuses more on criminals than on victims, Cavalcante gets out and neighbors aren't told for 8 hours that he's on the run. And the state police aren't called in for 2 days because the local folks are more interested in virtue signaling than law and order. The Republican Party has an opportunity. Look, the Democratic Party has an opportunity to run back to the center. If they fail to do it, the Republican Party has an opportunity to say, hey, folks, this isn't about party. It's about common sense. If you want your family to be safe, if you want your children to be safe, the other party doesn't want to believe in it. As an American, as a Pennsylvanian, I hope the Democratic Party comes back to the center. But if they don't, the Republican Party better continue to talk about these things in practical ways. Bad policies can have deadly consequences. They can have fearful consequences. As you remember, we had lockdowns here and helicopters flying over our homes with searchlights. No parent, regardless of your ideology, no parent wants to tell their kids, you can't go out and play, you can't go to soccer practice, you've got to stay locked in our house. Nobody wants that.
So before we get to a fun picture that Dan Borowski wants to show, real quick here, since we're talking about, you know, positives for maybe Republicans and policies that do well, you wrote in another publication for Broad and Liberty, governing is harder than winning. That's how you started out. And that's true. Governing is harder than winning. So in this one, it's been a whirlwind, so I'm giving you a lot here. If you look at the past week, what do you see as we've talked about some winning issues for Republicans and for Trump? What do you see as one that could be a downfall that people should be concerned about?
Well, I think we have to understand that President Trump has showed more decisive action in 1 week than Joe Biden showed in 4 years, but he can't simply rule by executive order and leadership. He can lead, but he can't rule. He can deal with the president of Colombia. He can deal with the presidents of Ukraine and Russia. But at the end of the day, Congress needs to determine how our money is spent and to stop wasting money. Congress has to decide on whether we're going to be serious about reforming or closing down the Department of Education so it's more child-centered. Congress is going to have to help him make sure that we secure our border. Congress is going to have to make sure that we create energy policies that help. So where do I see the challenges? It's not so much I'm concerned about roadblocks. It's that I hope Republicans now are emboldened to understand voters expected results. Voters of all parties saw the problems. President Trump said they broke it, I'll fix it. We're about getting to the point where much of what President Trump can do alone is beginning. That list is getting shorter. Republicans need to understand we need to govern, and that means get these nominees confirmed, but it means to also protect our border, fix our education, and get American energy out of the ground. If there's one thing we can do, aside from all the executive orders, is at the end of these 4 years, make America energy independent. It will bring our grocery prices down and let us never to be beholden to dictators. If we do that, the quality of life for my children and yours and our grandchildren will be changed forever. And he needs the help of Congress to do that. And he needs us all to keep up the fight locally so that governors like Shapiro don't try to undermine making us energy independent.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I did see that Senator Dave McCormick, obviously the Republican here in Pennsylvania, he has just announced that he's going to host this inaugural Pennsylvania Energy and Innovation Summit. It'll be in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, it's not close to Philadelphia, but we'll watch for that very carefully for sure. All right, Dan has a fun photo, right?
Oh yep. Yeah,
Dan Borowski with the sun. Gonna have a little fun with you.
I got off the phone while I was texting with him, guy today, and turns out that he was down in Florida. Just got back, and I have a picture now. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Guy, you are at Fantasy Camp here with the Fanatic. So first off, how was it, sir? Second of off, I see some dirt on the knees. Were you sliding? How intense did you take this Fantasy Camp, and what position did you play?
Wow. Now the hard questions come out. It was a blast. The Phillies do a fantastic job, and locally ESF, who runs a lot of the camps that our kids go to in the Delaware Valley, runs all the logistics. Probably 36 or more retired Phillies. Owner of the Phillies, John Middleton, was there and did a Q&A session. We played 6 games in 3 days, and then yesterday we all got to play the legends. Everybody got one at bat. I actually got an at-bat against Cole Hamels.
Wow.
One of my prouder moments. I did not strike out all week, and Cole Hamels did not strike me out. I popped out to Cole Hamels, but I did not strike out, and I take that as a badge of honor. I was on Team Lefty, a great group of guys, a lot of whom play ball in older leagues. I had not played a game with an umpire since I was in high school. But Team Lefty, they welcomed me in. Matt Stairs, who everybody knows, is known for hitting that massive home run against the Dodgers, and Aaron Rowan, who literally ran into a wall to catch a fly ball, were my coaches. They were great.
Wait, he did that in the Fantasy Camp?
No, he did that in 2000. No, for the Phillies, he ran into...
I know he did it for the Phillies, but I thought you were saying he did it also down at the Fantasy Camp where he was playing with a bunch of retired legends. All right, gotcha.
No, I will tell you, the best hitters were Cole Hamels and Randy Wolf from Wolfpack days.
Nice.
So I played a little bit of everything, but I mostly played center field because on my team, the excellent fielders were in the infield, and on my team, I was speedy, so it'll let you know about the guys. They were a great team, so it was a wonderful time. I had fantastic memories. Got to meet Kruk and Larry Boa, who I watched
what
as
a
kid.
Thrill.
I'm a hard person to impress, and I was blown away. We got in late last night. We all watched the game on our phones. The plane was rocking with fly equals fly. I mean, it was just memory after memory. I'm still sky high. I'm a little sore, but I got to meet a lot of my legends growing up. I got lessons on hitting from Matt Stairs and Milt Thompson, and got lessons on how to play the outfield from Aaron Rowan. So the warning to my Thunder girls, I came back learning a lot of lessons I'm going to help teach them in the weeks ahead. So it just blown away. I highly recommend it, and I'm gifted that my wife sent me there.
Wow, what a wife. Number one wife. I know. And what is everybody talking about? Refineries on the YouTube chat? I don't know. We've lost them, I guess. They want to know about energy, more about energy production, that we need more refineries online. That's what they come away with. Your great story about being right there with Philly's legends, refineries.
Well, they don't have a lot of refineries in Clearwater, but they have. although I will tell you, not until Sunday did it feel like Clearwater. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's like here. Which, if you're like me and you're over 35, playing in 40-degree weather with 20-degree winds is a challenge. But my teammates and I, we gutted it out. Look, the refinery stuff. We do need more refinery. What we need are more pipes. But what we need is we have more energy under our feet than Saudi Arabia. We need to get it out of the ground and into our homes and hospitals and factories. And the port, again, this is where we embrace the men and women in the building trades and, you know, Bobby Brady and Ryan Border and all those guys. Mm-hmm. We can process the energy in South Philly and Delaware County, put people to work, and then we can actually build stuff. We can, you know, I just came back from fantasy camp. The balls, the Under Armour, the water bottles, the AstroTurf, all made from Pennsylvania natural gas. The fertilizer to grow the food we ate and that we all eat is made in natural gas. So you want to win for sports? You want to make the Under Armour and the water bottles for your kids cost less money? Unleash the gas. You want lower energy bills? Unleash the gas. And yes, if you have the opportunity, go to fantasy camp. Even if you don't want to play, you can go as a fan. Wouldn't it be great? Everybody gets to go to fantasy camp and all of our energy costs come down 30%. That's a win-win.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Do you watch Landman? It's Taylor, what's his name? Taylor Sheridan? Paramount?
I do not.
It's like
yeah,
the Yellowstone?
I do not.
You would love
it. Yeah, I've seen the clips. I've seen the clips on X. I've seen the lectures, and he's right. I mean, you can't build those massive wind turbines without natural gas. You can't build solar panels without natural gas. But most of the solar panels, as we drive around and see them, again, if my neighbors want them, they can have them. But most of those solar panels are made in part or in whole in China with minerals mined out of Africa, the kids mine, that China runs. So you want to have windmills and you want to have solar panels, that's fine, but they're right. Now, my wife and I are usually watching British crime shows. We're in the middle of watching Shetland, which it's excellent and a whole bunch. But that's what we're usually watching. But I see the clips and, you know,
you
look,
check it out.
We have the energy here. It's a shame not to use it. And it begins with Pennsylvania. And Governor Shapiro next week in his budget address, if he says one thing that will get me to applaud, it's help our kids find schools. But if he wants to help our kids and our grandkids, he's going to say unleash the energy under our ground. Our kids will have good schools, but we will have the lowest energy costs anywhere on the planet. And it's sitting under our feet. And to not, if we don't do it, it's a swing and a miss. And we should try and put the ball in play. And that's enough of my bad pun.
Nice. Guy Shiraki, follow him at PA Suburbs Guy. Until next time. Thanks, Guy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, Dan. Have a great day.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.